Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back today. Okay, today's topic is entrepreneurs. Well, who are they and how did they become entrepreneurs? As I mentioned the last time, we have tried to understand entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs from various angles throughout history. Well, today we will take a look at more detail from the academic and structural framework. Okay, let's begin with institutional and sociological perspective. Well, as a professor, I use the same question every semester in midterm. Well, the question is about the comparison between Hanyang University in Korea and Stanford University. What about it? Well, actually, Stanford is very famous for having many entrepreneurs. Well, around 20% of its students start their own businesses or work at the startup after graduation. On the other hand, although Hanyang University in Korea produced, 50 to 70 entrepreneurs annually, it is nowhere near Stanford in comparison. Well, why does this difference occur? Okay. Why are Stanford University closer to entrepreneurship than Hanyang University in Korea? Okay, this is exactly the exam question I gave students every semester. Well, very interestingly, every semester, the student answers are pretty much similar. Well, about 50 to 60% of students respond like this. Stanford has a well-established startup environment, but Hanyang University does not. Or Stanford provides good access to startup-related information, but Hanyang University does not. Or Stanford has, many practical entrepreneurship courses, but Hanyang University does not. Well, I categorize these types of answers like an institutional perspective. Okay. On the other hand, about 30 to 40% of the students think like this. Stanford has a very strong entrepreneur network, but Hanyang University does not. Or Stanford has many mentors, while Hanyang University lacks them. Yes, these types of questions, these types of answers reflect sociological perspective. Well, our students were understanding entrepreneurs throughout both institutional and sociological perspective. Okay, let's now take a closer look at each perspective together. First, the institutional perspective. The institutional perspective suggests that formal or informal rules shape the entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs. Well, this man is Bormer, a well-known economist. According to him, peoples are fundamentally the same. However, whether someone becomes an entrepreneur depends on the rule of games in the society. Well, even if someone becomes an entrepreneur, well, the society system can determine whether they become an innovative entrepreneur or just a rent-seeking person. Well, this man is Douglas North. Well, he studied economic history and he is a Nobel winner. Okay, he's a very famous man. According to him, institutions in society can be broadly divided into two types. First one is formal and second one is informal institution. Well, formal institution includes things like regulations and taxes. Okay. On the other hand, the informal institutions are things like kind of cultures or social values. For example, well, there are four university students in Lima, Peru. They wanted to start closing manufacturing businesses like the picture in this slide. However, to start such a business, they need to obtain 11 different government approvals, which takes almost 1 year. Such approval process are typical example of, you know, formal institutions. Here are several countries. You can see that top four countries have very fast business regulations in time. Okay, for example, Estonia. Estonia takes a little less, just 2 hours. You know, you apply online and get immediate approvals. On the other hand, the bottom three countries take much longer. For example, in Venezuela, it takes 230 days. You know, if you want to start a business in Venezuela or Laos, you'd need to consider that even the registration takes a long time. This became a barrier to becoming an entrepreneur. This person is Mrs. Moon, founder of The Ventures. Well, actually, she started a business in 2000s, but failed. Then she moved to Silicon Valley with her husband. In Silicon Valley, she found that everyone was talking about startup. You know, and if she, you know, if she's not interested in startup, then she feels that she would be left behind. This is the startup fever and the culture present in Silicon Valley. This kind of fever and culture is not formal, isn't it? But it is a part of the society, informal institution. So Mrs. Moon began a new business. You know, up to this point, we will look at the institutional perspective together. However, when we live in the society, we don't only consider institutional system. Well, what is important is people. Why do we move to the nice neighborhood or area with good schools? Because there are good people there, right? Humans are social animals. Well, the sociological perspective suggests that relationship or group affiliation influence whether someone becomes an entrepreneur. Well, entrepreneurship is a kind of outcome shaped by, you know, social context in which individuals are embedded. Well, I prepared a kind of very interesting quiz for you. Okay, can you match each immigrant with the businesses? You can see on the left side, we have immigrant groups. On the right side, we have the business sectors. So can you try to connect each of them? Okay, let's try. Korean, Vietnamese, and Indian, Cambodian, and nail salon, donut shop, hotel, you know, the laundry. Okay, let's do this together. Yeah, Korean immigrant primarily run the laundry in America. What about Vietnamese? Okay, Vietnamese immigrants often operate the nail salon. What about Indian? Okay, Indians are typically involved in hotel or motel businesses. Cambodians? Interestingly, Cambodians are known for running a donut shop. Isn't it interesting? Okay, my question is, why is that? Yeah, right. Okay, when someone immigrates, you know, without much knowledge of the local environment, okay, probably they naturally seek guidance from those who came before them, usually relatives or close friends. So it is highly likely that they will learn and follow the same line of work as those former immigrants. For example, you know, Korean immigrants began working in the laundry businesses starting in 1980s. And those who followed, you know, tend to enter the same field. Okay? So this same applied to other immigrant groups. So basically, the former immigrant from the same country influenced the latter. So in this case, we can see the people really matter on entrepreneurship. Okay? Please find out the relationship in the real-world startup case. Okay, this is a Sun Microsystem. Well, Sun Microsystem right now is a big company. And then this company was founded by three entrepreneurs. You know, Andy Bechtolsheim and Vinod Khosla and Scott McNeely. And then later what happened? You know, Sun Microsystem sold for this company to, Oracle in 2009 for $7.4 billion. You know, as you know, Oracle is an enterprise software company founded in 1977 by also three people, Larry Ellison and Bob Miner and Ed Oates. Okay, later Larry Ellison became an angel investor in the Salesforce, okay, a company founded in 1999. Around the same time, the Andy Bechtolsheim invested in the Google. Okay? So, you know, why did such investment happen? You know, was these companies such as Salesforce and Google is an amazing company? Yeah, that might be one reason. Okay? But there is more than that. Okay, namely the hidden network of the relationship. What about it? Okay, the answer would be the Jewish network. Okay, look at this red mark. You know, Larry Ellison, Andy Bechtolsheim, and Mark Benioff, and Larry Page and Sergey Brin are all Jewish people. Okay, this shows that entrepreneurs are often shaped by social relationships. Well, look at this research. Well, this research analyzed people in Sweden and produced a surprising result. Okay? You know, even when better options are available and the business opportunity were not highly profitable, people were more likely to become entrepreneur if their next-door neighbor was also entrepreneur. Okay, in other words, where and with whom you live matter greatly. Isn't it interesting? Look at another study. Well, this study analyzed panel data in America. And this study, you know, examined 816, you know, early stage entrepreneurs and their the founding team. And the result showed that the people tend to form teams with others, you know, similar to themselves in gender, ethnicity, and occupation. Okay, many teams are composed of family members, spouses, or their friends. Okay, there is an old saying. Do you remember that? Yes, you know, birds of a feather flock together. And this is precisely the case. We expect that, you know, the startup teams will be formulated by functional diversity. But from this research, functional diversity is less common than expected. Okay, the more important thing is the people. Well, let's take another study. This study analyzed the people in Denmark. Well, it examine the wage workers, how many, you know, over 270,000 individuals. Okay, and this research found that if your coworker had a prior entrepreneurial experience, and then the likelihood of an individual becoming an entrepreneur increased significantly. What do you mean by that? Yes, your co-workers play a pivotal role on your entrepreneurship. Isn't it interesting? So in short, who you work with also influence whether or not you become an entrepreneur. So again, the people matter. Okay, let me summarize. Although entrepreneurship is often defined, you know, by individual attitude and behaviors, those very attitudes and behaviors are shaped by broader institutional frameworks and sociological perspective. Okay, this is how we understand entrepreneurs from institutional and sociological perspective.